Today's reading begins in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 1. Deuteronomy 22, verse 1. You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and ignore them. You shall take them back to your brother. And if he does not live near you and you do not know who he is, you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall stay with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. And you shall do the same with his donkey, or with his garment, or with any lost thing of your brother's which he loses and you find. You may not ignore it. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down by the way and ignore them. You shall help him to lift them up again. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. If you come across a bird's nest in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall let the mother go, but the young you may take for yourself, that it may go well with you and that you may live long. When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof, that you may not bring the guilt of blood upon your house if anyone should fall from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the whole yield be forfeited, the crop that you have sown and the yield of the vineyard. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear cloth of wool and linen mixed together. You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife and goes in to her and then hates her and accuses her of misconduct and brings a bad name upon her, saying, I took this woman, and when I came near her, I did not find in her evidence of virginity, then the father of the young woman and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of her virginity to the elders of the city in the gate. And the father of the young woman shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man to marry, and he hates her. And behold, he has accused her of misconduct, saying, I did not find in your daughter evidence of virginity. And yet this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloak before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take the man and whip him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true that evidence of virginity was not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of the father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done an outrageous thing in Israel by whoring in her father's house. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. If there is a betrothed virgin, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman because she did not cry for help though she was in the city, and the man because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. But if in the open country a man meets a young woman who is betrothed, and the man seizes her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no offense punishable by death. For this case is like that of a man attacking and murdering his neighbor, because he met her in the open country, and though the betrothed young woman cried for help, there was no one to rescue her. If a man meets a virgin who is not betrothed, and seizes her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife so that he does not uncover his father's nakedness. No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. No one born of a forbidden union may enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pithor of Mesopotamia to curse you. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loved you. You shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you are a sojourner in his land. Children born to them in the third generation may enter the assembly of the Lord. So our reading today had a number of laws that were being put into place from instructions regarding if you find something that belongs to your brother, you were to restore it to him or to help him restore it. If it was one that had fallen down, had instructions regarding wearing garments that belong to the opposite sex. You even had instructions which the Jews thought was a very small instruction, this idea of the bird's nest and the young. However, we see that God puts these rules in place because, number one, we need to learn how to conduct ourselves, or they did. And number two, there was a sense of morality even regarding the creation around them. Then there is, the idea of making your house safe so that you wouldn't be guilty of somebody should fall off the top of the house. Regarding sowing two kinds of seed, there's a little bit of disagreement as to why God would have put these two, these commandments together. So they're saying, don't sow with two kinds of seed, don't plow with an ox and a donkey. Ox and a donkey, I can understand a little bit because they're kind of mismatched. They don't pull the same, they don't do the same work, and so it would be difficult for them to work together. Where cloth of wool and linen mixed together. That's not a blended fabric like we have today, but putting the two types together. One commentator describes this saying, those things which God has separated in his creation, man wasn't to put back together. And maybe that's the case, maybe not, but I tend to think that God is just giving these rules in order to help them avoid some problems. Problems with maybe sowing two kinds of seed and then your crop failed because it doesn't germinate properly. The idea of the ox and the donkey, as I mentioned, the idea of wool and linen mixed together, maybe they won't fit together well, they won't last. And so there's the last one in verse 12, tassels on the four corners of the garment. Seems to be the idea of not being ashamed of who they were as Jews and that they would readily identify themselves as people that followed Jehovah. Then there are some laws concerning sexual immorality. These are both moral laws as well as civil laws. The idea of a man basically taking advantage of a woman by marrying her, going into her, and then accusing her falsely of not being a virgin so that he can put her away. And so there is this procedure and what's going to happen under those circumstances. Then there is adultery, there is fornication described, what the punishments were for those. And then there is even cases of rape being described and what the penalties would be there. So civil laws put forth what the punishments were going to be. Then chapter 23, you had those that would be excluded from the assembly. This is another case in which over the generations, we've lost a little bit of meaning here in terms of what exactly is being described as may enter the assembly of the Lord. You could take that very strictly and say that they could not assemble at the temple at all under any circumstance. There is some that believe that that's a matter of holding some place of importance, whether that might be, one of the elders at the gates, a judge in Israel, or any sort of religious office whatsoever. We know that there was provision made for people to be proselyted into the Jewish religion, so I don't think that that's what he's talking about here. Would not be in the case of a proselyte. But God did expect them to keep some level of purity. And then finally, verse 7, not abhorring an Edomite, for they are their brothers, not abhorring an Egyptian, because they were sojourners in their land. So there were people that God told them, you're going to wipe these people out because I've judged them and I'm giving their land to you. And then there were other people that they needed to learn to live in the land with. And even though they are Gentiles, and even though they weren't supposed to intermarry with any of those people, there was still this idea of treating them properly. So all of these things God is handing down, and how should we take it today? How should we, walk away from our reading today? It's just to realize that God has a reason for everything, even if sometimes the reasoning doesn't make sense to us, doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. And so we need to realize that God hands down his rules for a reason, for our benefit. God has continued to give us guidelines and rules to live our life by, words that we would be judged by. We need to heed those words that it may go well with us spiritually. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.